Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
We are, you know, we're coming off a double or nothing. I've got, as you very much enjoy, at the end of this week, I start holiday. So I'm getting out of here for a little bit, going on vacation. And just going to take a little bit of time off. So this should be exciting.
Fantastic.
Yes. Other than that, you know, just good stuff happening. Just we had a busy month of wrestling, you know, things happening. We got another
in your house. It's always a busy month of wrestling. In fact, right now, I'm so busy watching all the other shit, the A&E, Dark Side of the Ring, whatever they add to the network. Who the hell has time for any of the actual product? Luckily, I don't. And luckily, I don't have to watch it because it sucks. I mean, I do watch a little bit, obviously, but, you know, it's funny. There's so much other stuff happening. Like, just, you know, again, right now with the A&E documentaries, what? Those are 2 hours. Dark Side's an hour. Pillman was 2 hours. Yep. You have the hour Hidden Treasure. I mean, you have all this stuff. Like, okay, that's 6 hours. I mean, I'm watching these before I go to bed and I'm barely staying on top of them.
I'm trying to watch them on my lunch break. Yeah. Like, you know, and even I got that 40 minutes, right? It's just crazy.
So why are we covering this match?
Why is this one? So this is technically our, I say, final Backlash match. It feels like forever ago Backlash. It was, you know, two weekends ago at this point, or 3 weekends ago, which in wrestling time, it feels like eternity. But we wanted to, you know, their Backlash, surprisingly, and we said it over the course of the last month, like there's just sneaky good matches. And you know, you and I have
for years.
Yep. And you and I have like a super, you know, and we've talked about on the show, a super long list of matches. And it's funny because I'll look at it and try and pick matches and stuff like that. I was like, shit, how haven't we covered this?
Like there are two great matches on this card.
This one and
main event.
In the main event, yeah, where you've got the triple threat, right?
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, the other reason there's two other things I'm looking forward to. First of all, I'm curious how this match holds up compared to the Edge match from WrestleMania, right? These are two of like post-retirement Mick Foley matches. So I'm a little curious about that. And then the other thing is, if you remember, and you may cover some of this, but they did the WrestleMania match with Mankind and The Rock, Rock and Saw Connection against, well, and it was Mick Foley, but Rock and Saw Connection against Batista, Flair, and Orton.
Yes.
And Foley says
Evolution,
the match.
Evolution, yep.
And it wasn't that bad, but Foley said the match sucked. He was in bad shape. So this is kind of like his redemption. So I'm curious to cover all of that as well.
Well, and you and I, like, sometimes, like, this is a hardcore match. This is about to be a true hardcore match. Even, like, you know, trying to get graphics and stuff for this one, like, we're going to see some shit. And so some of it doesn't hold up well over the years. And so I'm interested to see, can you have a hardcore match that isn't, like, you know, a death match like we recently saw on the dark, you know, one of more recent Dark Sides, like, you know, how does this hold up and stuff like that? So, we're talking about hardcore. We have to make sure to take a second right here to remind everybody our deal still available. It's that 20% off manscaped.com. We got free shipping coming to you. Just make sure you're using our promo code payoff. I had a fan reach out to me. We appreciate you guys kind of using the code, supporting the show too. Shout out to our Australian fans, actually. I had a person reach out to us, kind of talking to us. So shout out to you, sir. And I didn't even think I told you this. He was a former NWA referee.
No, you didn't. That's great.
No, and so him and I were talking about, you know, kind of messaging back and forth with some of that stuff, which is kind of cool. So shout out to that. But again, and don't forget, and two, now we're able to officially kind of announce, it's been out there for a couple weeks now, but as well too, they've upgraded the lawnmower. It's now the Lawnmower 4.0, all kinds of new stuff. We'll talk about it a little later in the show, but of course, 20% off, free shipping. It's only US and Canada right now for the Lawnmower 4.0. Doesn't mean you can't order some other stuff. They got a ton of good stuff in there, but that's payoff. Use our code at manscaped.com. So yeah, build time. Want to get into it? Let's do this.
Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. So as you said, we are closing down our Backlash coverage with Backlash 2004, or as they say on Peacock, Backlash Season 6.
Episode 1. Yeah.
Episode 1. April 18th, 2004, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, 13,000 in attendance, buy rate of 295,000, and it's a Raw-only pay-per-view during the split brand pay-per-view era. Yep. Opened up with Shelton Benjamin defeating Ric Flair in 9 minutes, if you can believe that. Speaking of things you can't believe, Jonathan Coachman would defeat Tajiri in 6 minutes.
Hey, shout out to our show opener. There you go. Yep. Can't forget about the coach.
Chris Jericho defeating Christian and Trish Stratus in a handicap match. Victoria retaining her women's championship against Lita. The reason we're here, Orton and Cactus Jack, hardcore intercontinental title match. With Evolution banned from ringside. Then we had Hurricane and Rosie defeating La Resistance in 5 minutes. Edge defeating Kane in 6 minutes. And then the main event, which is a WrestleMania rematch of Benoit holding his title, defeating Shawn Michaels and Triple H in a 30-minute triple threat match that got 4.5 stars. Benoit, 2 straight wins over these two guys, and both by submission. I mean, they were putting the rocket strap on him. 650,000 was the gate for this one. And, you know, just a fun show, a couple good matches and 2 great matches, one of which we're going to cover. So I mentioned some of the storyline standpoint stuff that we got to, but Jeff, walk us through everything.
Yeah, not a ton here, but it was actually a pretty decent stories. But we're, you know, this match takes place, you know, we're 2004 April, but we're going to go back. It was actually Survivor Series 2001. Foley actually left the company for a couple of years. He did some kind of indie stuff. I say indie stuff. He's not an indie wrestler, but he was kind of, you know, at some other promotions and things like that. Then he actually came back June 2003. He was a referee in a Hell in a Cell match. It was between Triple H and Kevin Nash at Bad Blood. It was around a little bit, actually. So he's like the next night or 2 weeks after during Raw, he was honored for, you know, was supposed to be honored for his achievements in the ring. He was presented the retired WWE Hardcore Championship belt. But of course, by the end of the night, he was getting attacked by Randy Orton and Ric Flair. And we'll come back to it a little bit. But that year, 2003, you had Orton actually was joined Evolution at this point. This was, you know, kind of Evolution getting going. Of course, we all know Ric Flair, Triple H. And at the time, I say that the newcomer Batista, who is now a household name, you know, doing movies and what he does and things like that. But yeah, the four of them in Evolution, you know, Orton actually, who was in a Elimination Chamber match. It was a World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam that year, 2003, the year prior to this. Pretty much he got eliminated, but he did help Triple H win the strap. And so, you know, kind of doing his part, he actually, Triple H beat Goldberg on that one to retain his title. So, throughout this, though, Orton kind of, you know, this is the era. Funny, because we've been learning the history of Randy Orton lately with the Viper and all these other things. But this is when he started calling himself the Legend Killer. You know, really, at this point, Orton was really a young gun. He was green, you know, almost. And so, you know, but touting himself as that legend killer that, you know, he would really take on a bunch of different, I say, old timers and legends and things like that, and start kind of knocking him off and things like that. So he actually beat Shawn Michaels at Unforgiven. That was one of the you know, if I say the big matches, it was legend versus legend killer. And this was actually the time, I did not know, like this end of 2003, end of 2004 is when he started using the RKO. You know, you always figure a wrestler, you know, if wrestler
trivia,
has this
trivia, who told him to use it?
I don't know.
Johnny Laurinaitis, because Laurinaitis created the move when it was the Ace Crusher.
There you go. And now we got the RKO, of course, Randall Keith Orton going with the initials. And so interesting. All right. So a little bit of trivia for everybody out there. So there you go. So, but throughout that early 2004, still being the legend killer, you know, actually challenged Mick Foley at this point, who was really kind of semi-retired. And so, but late 2003 of this year, the story's kind of coming together. Foley came back. He replaced Stone Cold as he was the co-general manager of Raw at the time. You know, he was kind of some back and forth, didn't really want to wrestle Orton. You know, it ended up him getting, you know, kind of beat up because not in a match, but just kind of, you know, backstage, things like that, you know, getting called a coward. So where we start getting into a little bit, though. So Royal Rumble 2004, that January, you actually had Mick Foley eliminating Orton and himself. They kind of brawled up the ramp, hit him with a steel chair. It was a whole thing, you know, just kind of, you know, into the back and then didn't see it. And Tom, as Tom already said, at WrestleMania 20, you had Evolution, who was that Orton, Batista, Ric Flair going against the Rock and Sock Connection, who was just Foley and the Rock. It was a handicap match, but Evolution ended up winning. It was actually Orton that pinned Foley after an RKO on that one, which I'm still convinced that the most protected finisher in all of wrestling is the RKO. But kind of hitting that. And then you had, really just, it was March actually, where it was March 29th, actually very late. So you're within 30 days of this match happening, Foley challenging Orton to a hardcore match because of everything that had kind of been going on for the Intercontinental Championship, which Orton had at the time. Orton actually accepted that same night. They also, because of the different attacks and things he had gone through, he wanted, Evolution banned from ringside as well. So over the course of 4 months, you know, in each other's realms and in each other's universes, kind of wrestling each other or just kind of, you know, having interactions, and then finally getting this match at Backlash.
Good build.
Nice tight build. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, actually. You know, a little bit of brawling over a couple months. You build, you know, you don't have a bunch of one-off matches or continuations, just here you go type thing. And then I'm just excited to watch this one because we know it's got some craziness, so I'm ready to revisit it.
Well, I'm ready when you are.
I would say, again, don't forget, everybody, we said it at the top of the show, but real quick, just remember 20% off payoff. Use that code manscaped.com. Check out that Lawnmower 4.0. There's all kinds of new features, cool stuff. You got different guard links. You got
wireless charging.
Wireless charging. Got on off with the light, which I love the light on the 3.0.
Apparently, it's a much better light.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. And then two, I'm excited. I'm going to eventually order the 4.0 as well too, because you and I, as things are opening up here, we're on the go. I'm super excited to figure out what, you know, the travel lock and kind of, you know, see what's going on. I actually ordered a hard case off of the internet. And so I have it to try. I can travel with one and leave one at home. You know, like I always have my go bag and things like that. And so for all of us on the go more and more, that's super important. So payoff, use that code at manscaped.com for 20% off. So I've plugged it, Tom. I'm ready to go.
Got our shit in.
Fast and easy. That's how we like it.
Yeah. I told you, I'm very happy with everything that we've ordered. The weed whacker for the nose hair is and ear hair.
You sold fantastic. Me on it. Yep.
Oh yeah. No, that's, look, I mean, I maybe not every guy, but most of us have to deal with some of this stuff, especially as we get older. It just seems like this hair just starts coming out in different places. And so it's just nice. You know, I have, I keep all my, you know, toiletries in a little basket. It's just nice having both those things in there. And, you know, you catch some hair here or there on your ear, or, you know, on your chest or whatever, and below the waist. It's just nice to be able to just zap it out real quick and get on with your day. Because I used to just wait too long. long, and then it turned into a massive project. But with these, they're kind of compact, so you can just easily kind of clean up and get on with your day. And I find that my maintenance is significantly better now. So manscaped.com payoff is the discount code for 20% off. So with that, we are at the 1 hour and 5 minute mark of Backlash 2004. That's the 1 hour and 5 minute mark of Backlash 2004, available on Peacock.
Season six.
Right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, dude, here we go.
So we're starting Orton in the ring.
Here comes Foley.
Foley walking out with the barbed wire bat. That is one thing about Foley. I feel like I remember just, and Orton's got kind of a makeshift version, but Foley's got the true one, just so much barbed wire on it. I just associate that with him so much. It's like Triple H and the sledgehammer, like just that barbed wire bat, just crazy. Yeah. It's funny too, cause I have watched the Dark Side of the Ring kind of death match, like, you know, true hardcore. And like, this is, you know, the first little bit of it was tough to watch, cause we talk about like hardcore matches and this stuff, but that stuff, like just how much blood and how brutal it is. Like, I get it. Like, some people are into that, but man, it was tough. Like, some of the shit they do is just rough, like absolutely just destroying themselves.
So I haven't seen the death match one yet.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward
to it. Was it good?
I enjoy it. None of those are bad. Yeah, absolutely. So here's one of the iconic shots at this point too. We've got Foley kind of, pressing the bat up against Orton's face, and these guys kind of, you know, test of strength in this point, and both guys trying to go at it. And so, yeah.
It's amazing how much younger Orton looks, but you know, you think about it, dude, this was 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I know he's got his current storyline with the bro Matt Riddle, and it seems like Orton actually, at first he hated him, but now he kind of enjoys working with him. And so it just, I think Orton said the first meeting, he didn't really like shake his hand or kind of, you know, formally introduce himself. He did just give him the, like, what's up, bro? Like that was, I mean, that's just Riddle, but yeah.
So where are you on Orton's career? Like, if I say to you, just summarize and talk about Randy Orton's career, like, where does he fit in history? What do you think of him?
I think that I think you have to put him, while he's not on my Mount Rushmore, he's got to be like a top 10 wrestler. And I wouldn't have said that necessarily if you had asked me even a couple of years ago, because I was not a big fan of like having him in like the title picture as much as he was. And I'm just not a big fan of that piece of it, but you take his overall kind of work, like, you know, body of work and kind of what he's done and things like that. And he was young here. Like, he was not really over. He was not fully established at this point. Yeah, he'd had some matches and stuff, but like, you know, even at this point, he was not, you know, Randy Orton wasn't a primetime player by any means. And so, I think that it, like, looking at it all, I think he definitely got screwed with the Fiend shit. Like, you know, that just, that whole, like looking back on that whole storyline right now, like, you know, you could have put any other wrestler in there, you know, like, but Orton, it really, whether he likes Bray or he's a big fan or something, like, it didn't do anybody any favors, like, whatsoever. How about you? What are your thoughts on Orton?
Oh, here's the thing, dude. I don't obviously don't have it in front of me when he debuted, but he had obviously been in the business a few years at this point. So he's been in it for over 20, I mean, around 20 years. Okay. Two decades. And he's not slowing down. And I say that, one, because he's mentioned that recently on podcasts, that this is all he wants to do. He doesn't want to act. He wants to do, you know, be in the business for as long as he can do it. Okay. So pending some crazy injury or circumstances, he's probably going to do this for another 10 years. And oh, by the way, remember that the part-time thing is a lot easier now because they're probably never going back to running 300 dates a year. And even if they do, they're way more receptive to part-timers. So let's just say he may have another decade. Well, shit, that means he had a 30-year career. That means he had as long of a career as The Undertaker. Like, John Cena hasn't been around for 30 straight years. You know, like, I mean, that's just, there's not many guys who have been around that long and been a main eventer for most of it. So, you know, again, is he my favorite? No. Is he Mount Rushmore? Of course not. But it's going to end up being an incredibly lengthy and impressive body of work.
Yeah. And so I looked it up real quick. He signed with Ohio Valley Wrestling in 2001. And so, and yeah, I'm with, and two, you say so if he's been in the business for 20 years, it's a wrestling family. So he's been around it for his whole life though. You know, with his dad, Bob Orton, you know, like, so yeah, like just crazy, to think like not only that, you know, just how long he's been involved, but yeah, I'm with you. And it's weird. It's even weird to think, God, are we going to see Randy Orton for another 10 years? Like you said that. And I was like, shit, is he really going to, like, is that a thing? Like we're going to be watching this into, you know, our mid 40s at this point, but you know, and we're still going to be complaining about the same cycle of, you know, what are we going to be unsubscribing from? But yeah, I totally agree with you. Like the workload, you know, he's got enough freedom now to pick and choose like what he kind of wants to do. You figure, hey, he wants to take a little time off. He takes a little time off and then he comes back and has a story.
Did you catch him on Kurt Angle's podcast recently?
I have not been listening to that one. I know you listen to that one far more than I do. I have not been lately.
So here's where I'm at with like, well, I'll tell you two things. First of all, Angle. I do not listen to Arn Anderson's. I just didn't really find it interesting. Although I know they're kind of rebooting that. I still love Bruce's. Yep. I never really got into Tony, so I don't listen to that one.
JR, Bischoff, I listen to. It's long. If I'm Bischoff, in a long car ride, yeah.
Yeah, Bischoff, I like when he talks business. Once they start talking about the actual show that they're covering, I usually just turn it off because it's like there's nothing interesting to happen. So I find the first like 20 minutes of Bischoff's show being really interesting, and then I typically turn it off. But regardless of the topic, they usually talk some current events and some business stuff that I find interesting. Angle... it's not that great of a perspective. And I think there's probably a lot of episodes I'm going to skip. I don't know how they're going to get, you know, 52 weeks out of him, let alone multiple years, if that's the plan. That's one they may need to reboot eventually too. When same with Shivani's, they had to reboot because you know, he didn't know anything that happened. He'd always be like, well, I don't know what happened then, or I wasn't privy to those conversations. I'll tell you what I've really enjoyed. And I've only listened to a few of the episodes so far, but Jeff Jarrett's has been excellent.
I agree. Yes, I agree. And he's been around.
Blade job from Orton, from the barbed wire baseball bat. He's just
dripping. Yep.
So Jeff Jarrett's been excellent. But yeah, so one of Angle's recent ones, which is worth listening to, and this may be part of them rebooting a little bit because they've done a couple Ask Me Anythings and then they had Orton on, but they may start trying to bring on some guests, but it was a good conversation with Orton. And so, and he doesn't do a lot of those and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So it's to this point, it's been a fairly like only kind of the barbed wire bat in a trash can. You've got Orton is open now. Like you said, he got the blade job.
Open.
Yeah. We're bleeding pretty good at this point. Fully not. He has the sock or no, it's off at this point, but he had the sock on at one point. The sock told him to use the bat again. Just beating up bang, bang. There it is. Going at it. Okay. Yeah. What did you think of, cause this too, the kind of lead into this a little bit was Foley as the general manager. How do you feel like he did another run as well too, you know, about 5 years ago at this point, it feels like as general manager, how do you feel about him in those kind of roles? Do you think he's good at it?
I think the range of Mick Foley in those roles goes from horrible and campy and terrible to incredible. And you never know what you're going to get with him. That's what's so interesting about Foley, both as a character and as a performer. Let's just call it, well, I mean, hell, over the last 20 years. So there's times where they bring him back and he looks like he can barely walk and he, you know, that has no interest in being there and doesn't do anything interesting, you know, doesn't say anything interesting, doesn't look physically good. And then there's matches he's been in where he's been completely out of shape, like that WrestleMania 16 four-way match, even like a month before this, where he just wasn't in it. And then there's other times, like right now, like some of those pre-Hell in a Cell promos that he's cut, where he's like on fire and excellent. So, I you know, it's all over the map. That's always been my impression, is like right now, look how like thin he looks, look how he's moving around. But there's other times during this era he came back, or even in TNA, where it's just like, oh, he just looks like shit.
Well, and a little bit of a spoiler here, I'll say in Foley's book, actually, this, he said that he thinks this is probably like the best match of his career. And so, and we've got, you know, however much time left at this point, I'm not even exactly sure. Foley has just pulled out a can of gas and a lighter fluid from underneath, and he's pouring the gas on the barbed wire bat.
Well, 13 minutes left in the match, just in case you're wondering. So
he did a spot too that I did not talk about, where he put the bat between Orton's legs on his crotch and then did a leg drop onto the bat, which
Bischoff coming out.
Yep. And so here you go. And so everyone's on there. So, yep, you got Bischoff coming out at this point.
The fire marshal will shut down the show if you light that barbed wire baseball bat on fire. So this is Bischoff with black hair. Did he just stop dying it midway through his GM run?
Maybe.
By the end of him being GM, it was completely gray.
Right.
So is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Nah, there's no way.
Oh, fans going nuts over it.
Okay.
Oh, he drops the bat. No.
Hey, speaking of hardcore wrestling and blood, give me your thoughts on the Jericho bump off the cage.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and we haven't talked about this yet. No, we haven't. And this was at this point, a couple of weeks ago. And so, that was one where the camera angle ruined it. And I think that the match itself was great. I actually really enjoyed the match. I thought that you know, they've been telling a good story here. Oh, we got Foley pulling out the plywood covered in barbed wire at this point from underneath the ring. I think, again, the camera angle ruined it. They should have set it up so that you didn't necessarily see how he landed. I think it was just kind of low quality production at that point, which just ruined it. And this was the same thing after the ring explosion. It's the old adage in wrestling, like the only thing you remember is the finish. And so it's unfortunate what happened, because they shouldn't be taking bumps onto, you know, a concrete floor. Of course not. But like, there's ways to do it that are better than what they did it. And no, you and I, we're marks here. You know, we're armchairing this one. But yeah, I just, the camera angle ruined it. It just, it really kind of turns you off. And
Foley just got body slammed and now he's rolling around on just a bunch of barbed wire. Great look with Orton just covered in blood. I haven't really read much of wrestling Twitter about that. I just thought the same thing. I'm like, well, that was a stupid camera angle.
Yeah.
No problem with them padding the fall. I'm not saying, oh, he should have landed on barbed wire that was on fire or landed on cement, but I would have just simply done a different angle, you know, so you got what, 8 cameras on that? We'll put one below it so you can't see it. Maybe you put one like on the other end so you can like get the drama of him falling off, but not doing that.
It could have used the hard cam and you wouldn't, all you would have seen was him flying off the cage.
That's right. And then the other thing too is like, be a little bit more creative. Like, do you remember when they've AEW's had like in their set, they've had like paper that they've thrown people through? Like there was like something, I remember one time, like Moxley or someone got like thrown through a drum. It looked like a big drum almost. My point is like, design something better. Like, it doesn't have to look like a crash pad, right? It could have just looked like nothing. Like you could have just put a mat at the bottom, but he would have fallen completely through it. Like if they would have built that structure up to be like 5 feet tall and he would have fallen through it and he would have just disappeared into black, it would have, you know, your imagination would be like, oh my goodness, what happened? And they could have even dragged him out and him been covered in blood. I just think that it was just such a poorly done stunt that it, again, in this AEW, this is my, like one of my biggest things with AEW is I feel like they're constantly like slapping you in the face that, hey, this is fake. This is fake. You have Tony Khan going on TV and doing press conferences, talking about the fake show that just happened. You have guys falling through crash pads. You have quote unquote explosion matches that have sparklers go off. You have the quote unquote VPs of the company that are talking about how fucking fake the whole thing is and how it's all work and how they're all talking about storylines. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah. Like
they just hit you over the head with how fake it is all the time in so many different ways. And I just thought that was so sloppy and so careless. And then you have Jericho. It's like, well, I really didn't even want to take the bump. Well, Owen really didn't even want to take a parachute either. And he did it. And, you know, I mean, I just don't, why are you putting these guys in these positions where Orton just gets thrown on the thumbtacks, facial reactions. Great. I just, my point to that, and I hate even bringing up, you know, what happened to Owen Hart, but it's like, if somebody is nervous about doing something, then maybe you don't have them do it. Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe you stop having guys fall off cages, or maybe you leave it up to the imagination and don't show a damn crash pad sitting there. So, you know, again, it just drives me. There's just so much about what they did. Yet I feel like the people that love AEW and think AEW you can do no wrong, including Tony Khan and his four VPs, you know, they think like nothing they do is wrong. And Vince and the WWE are so bad, and we're going to treat people so much better, and we're going to be so much more inclusive, and we're going to keep people all this. And then what are they doing? Well, they're doing blood. They're doing chair shots to the head. They have guys falling off cages. They have fucking death matches, but they're going to lecture, you know, Vince on being in the wrong.
Well, and they said, and oh no, that was the kind
and
of
look at rumor. Orton, by the way. I mean, he is, I've never seen anyone bleed this much from thumbtacks. I mean, he is bleeding and they are stuck in him. It's like, it almost looks like they usually use fake thumbtacks, but they're using real ones with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, he's got them all up his arm. It's on his back. We're going up the ramp at this point. Yeah. Foley's got a few too. Orton trying to sneak through the back and get away, but no, trying to go into gorilla. Yeah, and there was a lot of the rumor mill was that Vince thought, you know, it's set wrestling back, you know, 30 years, that type of match, which I don't think so. You know, there was a lot of complaining about that piece of it. I saw a lot, at least on like Reddit and Twitter, like, you know, if WWE did the same match, we would love it. Oh, and then Orton getting tossed off the top of the ramp on it. Like, and there you go. Like, there's a very similar bump that was just like some worked, like kind of a wood box with all the wiring on it and stuff that you can tell the woods work just because of how it broke, but he still had to take the bump. It still looked good. And so, yeah. And it's an unfair standard where if WWE had that match, the fans would go crazy. AEW does it like they're not a big fan of it. I think just like it's just really all how you set it up. Like, you know, if you do these little things, so they're reeling out a stretcher at this point too, of, you know, how they set up the match, how they do it, because again, it does go back to the only thing you remember is the finish. And so you remember how crappy that was. Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't know how to fix it, you know, but it's just, you got to move forward because then you got to do another show the next week. You know, you got to keep, you know, and, you know, it's just some fans aren't going to be happy. You know, I have both seen the kind of ratings numbers and they just keep going down for both shows. And it doesn't mean they're still not making a ton of money and have like the most money they've ever had in their lives, you know? So Foley celebrating at the top of the ramp. They're trying to get him to go to the back, him too covered in blood up and down his arm. They're tending to Orton, trying to get him up onto the stretcher and kind of fix him. Nope, but Foley attacking the refs. Here we go. He's not done yet. And oh, giant elbow drop onto Orton. Foley going for it. Dude is like, again, and remember too, he had not had a whole lot of matches to this point. He was in the Rumble, but man, he is selling out. Like he is putting Orton over 1,000 times right now with what he's trying to do. Because Orton's taken.
Oh just God, look at the spike on that wood. He's lucky he didn't hit that. You see it?
Oh yeah. Hanging right there.
Like that was just
right on the corner. Yeah. But that's like, you know, again, like that's still like the wood that they're laying on right now. You can tell it's like got like a straight line crack on it. It also looks like it's like that fake. It's like that fake wall shit, yeah. Which is, but it still looked, oh, and Orton kicking out. They're up way up at the, by the, like on the floor at the top of the ramp, like next to it, and going for the pin. You still got Orton still, you can see the shining tacks in his back still too. And fully trying to figure out what to do here.
I mean, this is, I can see why he loved this match. I mean, this is fantastic.
Ace, and yeah, he's getting to do what he wants. He's on a lot of the offensive at this point. You see him kind of chatting right there a little bit. And so trying to work, and Orton just getting the crap kicked out of him, like just absolutely getting pounded. So they're working their way back to the ring at this point. He's still probably got about 50 tacks on his back. So even right there when they laid him, maybe about 25, 50, whatever. But when he laid him on his back to get him back toward the ring, like you see Randy just wincing because, yeah, he's got more. Oh, he's trying to grab at him right now. It's got to hurt like hell. There's you and I will. That is a pain that you and I will never know. Just sell him.
I hope dead. Not.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, oh, that's a great shot right there across the ring, like kind of, you know, with a thumbtacks in the foreground. Orton has kind of, the blade job is kind of worn off. You can see the thumbtacks in the bottom of his boot, like just absolute craziness.
And Foley's left arm is just covered in blood because of all the thumbtacks that he rolled around in.
Foley going for, DDT just off to the side of the thumbtacks. And again, Orton kicking out. It's covered in lighter fluid. There's blood. There is thumbtacks. There's nowhere you can't step and not see thumbtacks.
Here's one for you. Yeah. Has Mick Foley wrestled his last match?
I think so. Yeah. We've seen some of the reports of kind of the news and things like that. You always feel bad. I think we had COVID, I think too. You know, never fun there. It's not the last we've seen of him, but I do think we've seen his last match. Yeah. I wish not, but.
Oh, he made a joke one time. He's like, man, for that Saudi Arabia money, I'd go over there and get thrown off another cell.
Yeah. That's one we could, we won't fully say. We might have a little bit, anniversary of that match coming up here soon. We'll have to see what happens. So Orton just swinging the barbed wire bat now, like going back after Foley. It's the only way he can do it. Foley though, secretly.
I was going to say, what's his instinct? Oh, it's to put a sock on his.
Yep. And there he goes. He got it. Mandible claw. Such a weird move.
So Orton had already been champion at this point, right? His first reign, or was that coming up after this? Do you remember?
I will talk about that later.
Okay. So
and
sorry.
I've got some notes and some trivia for you as always. And so I came prepared to this one. Ooh, low blow. Yep.
Hey, speaking of trivia, I brought some trivia too.
Go.
What year was the first cage match?
Who knows? Somewhere in the 60s, maybe 70s.
1937.
There it is. Yep. And who was it? Do you have that?
No idea.
Okay.
RKO. So,
yep.
Both there men it is. Out. Foley's face just covered in blood.
You can tell that was a weak RKO. He had not figured out the posture on that one yet. He kind of, his leg hit first and stuff like that.
Two count. He kicks out.
Oh my God. That was incredible. So, yep. And so he's going for the count and the tacks are bouncing up in the air.
He got him on his hand, huh?
Yeah. And he got the tacks on his hand. Yep. The referee did when he was going. For, yep. It's Kyoto. And so, yep. I can't
RKO on the barbed wire baseball bat. See you later.
One, two, three. There it is.
That's the old Randy Orton music.
Yep. The legend killer. The legend killer lives.
Jerry Lawler.
Good call. Yep.
Lawler and Jim Ross. I'm so glad that Vince got rid of them. They were just way past their prime and probably can't do this type of work anymore. Oh, wait, No, they're still fucking still fantastic there. And should still be on Raw every week. All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What do you got for us? Initial
that thoughts. Was it definitely you got Evolution at ringside now. It definitely held up better than I would have expected. It was not as brutal as we've seen some of these other matches. Like,
but that's okay. I mean, it didn't.
It was fine.
Brutal. It was just a good match.
It wasn't not hardcore either.
Yeah.
Like, and when half your match revolves around tack spots, like you could tell even some of the fans as it was like kind of playing out, like, yeah, it just that they even they were like, holy shit. And so, yeah, that was a good match. I'm glad we covered that one. How about you?
Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did what it should do. Randy Orton walks out of there a bigger star. You got to see Mick Foley. I mean, that Flair Batista Orton Triple H. I mean, look, they're kind of doing it now with Orton and Riddle where you get a younger and older guy together. But
yeah,
man, that just seemed too easy. Right.
Yeah.
Like even now. And I mean, if Flair wanted to be on TV every week, why not put Flair with three or four other guys? Have to be a four horseman, but this is how you create new stars is you give the rub. Right. So yep. I'd love to see, a Flair, a Foley, a Hogan. I mean, I don't know why they don't use those guys. I mean, if Hulk Hogan was managing a stable and he was on TV every week, I'm more likely to watch. I'm more likely to care about those characters. I'm more likely to view those guys as stars. I don't know why they don't do more of that. And there's so many guys out there, that could do it. Even when they were doing it, and I haven't been following it, but like Cameron Grimes with Ted DiBiase, is that going to be like a thing?
I don't know.
They had it, but I'm like, great. I watched the promo and I'm like, Cameron Grimes, didn't know who the hell he was, but now I do. Okay. So that's awareness for a new star. Like involve some of these guys, don't ask me why this came to mind, but it's like, bring on Sergeant Slaughter as a character and have him train someone and mentor and coach some. Why the hell not?
And I speak endlessly about stables on this.
And then that solves that issue too, which is stables make things interesting.
Well, and then like I said, Survivor Series should be Legends. Do the Legends belt. Yeah, we talk about this at length, but yeah. So, okay. What happened though? What we got? So, of course, we had we had the thumbtacks, we had the elbow drop, we had the kind of crashed wood spot, just all kinds of stuff. But it finished it with an RKO onto Cactus or Foley onto the barbed wire bat in order to retain the title. So, it was actually that July, just a couple months later, he actually lost the title to Edge. And then with that, he became then the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. So to your point though, here of, when did he have the title? So it was actually that SummerSlam 2004, Orton beating Chris Benoit for the championship. So at the time, it was the youngest world champion in WWE history at the age of 24. Now we hear this all the time. And as I was kind of digging into this, it's weird. And so I'm going to clear this piece of it up. Here's the trivia for you. So you had Brock Lesnar as the youngest WWE championship. He won it at 25 because at the time, the only event that was the only main event championship on WWE. If you take Randy Orton as the youngest world champ at 24, this was at a time period, though, where they had two main event championships. Now, if you want to, if you recognize the championship that Orton won as the same championship carried over from WCW, then you would have to say Big Show is the youngest world heavyweight champion. Big Show won the same belt at the age of 23 when he debuted in WCW as the Giant. Now, even more trivia for you here. If you want to extend the World Heavyweight Championship to its original lineage, traces back to 1905, then the true youngest champion of all time is Lou Thesz, who won it at the age of 20 or 21. So depending, again, this is a little bit of the revisionist history here, depending on which belt and when, you kind of got some different people that could be the youngest. But to directly answer your question, Orton won the championship for the first time at that SummerSlam 2004. But was he necessarily the youngest? No, but that's what we're going with. That's still what they talk about. You know, it's the revisionist of it, whatever. So but leading into this, though, this is, of course, though, where we had the after him winning the belt off of Benoit, Evolution throwing really just kind of the mock, you know, celebration, you know, excited about all this. Batista had Orton. He was up on his shoulders. And then the iconic Triple H giving the thumbs up, turning it to the thumbs down, Batista falling backwards onto the mat to hurt Orton, and then Triple H, Flair, and Batista, you're then members of Evolution, attacking Orton in the ring and him getting kicked out. But we will save that for another day. There's more story there, and so we'll talk about that. So Foley, though, he was color commentary for a little while for One Night Stand 2005. He actually returned against it was a Taboo Tuesday, a match against Carlito. The fans got to pick on that one, like who, like he came back as, whether it was Mankind, Dude Love, or Cactus Jack, and they picked Mankind. And so that was one of the last times he ever wrestled as Mankind in a WWE ring. And then as well, too, him coming back, he refereed a championship match between Edge and Cena. Cena won that one. Edge attacked Foley. Foley challenged Edge. We had the hardcore match at WrestleMania 22 between Foley and Edge, which is the match that we just recently covered here on the Payoff. So go back into the archives, check that one out. A lot of Foley, a lot of Edge, things like that. But that was just this year during WrestleMania season when we talked about that one. So good stuff, though. Ratings, you ready? Reviews?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Orton was number 5 this year, 2004. Cactus McFoley, of course, unranked. Like I said earlier, Foley regards this match as probably the best of his career. That was in his book. From the Pro Wrestling Torch, this one's given 4.5 stars. Randy Orton proved to fans and wrestlers at Sunday night's Backlash pay-per-view that he's more than an underwear model getting by on his credentials as a third generation Orton. He elevated himself in everyone's eyes with a stellar performance in Mick Foley's first singles match since coming out of retirement. Orton, previously not part of any particular standout singles match, took some brutal bumps, including a fall off the stage and landing on hundreds of thumbtacks. As great as the main event was, as you and I talked about a little bit, that triple threat, Backlash will probably be remembered for the festival of bloodshed between Mick Foley and Randy Orton. There was a lot to like here. Brum problem with Foley's previous WWE hardcore matches that they're sometimes too one-sided, with Foley taking too many of the big bumps himself. That obviously wasn't the case here. Randy Orton earned a lot of respect from the casual WWE fans tonight. It was also worth noting that Foley and Orton had a brutal, barbaric match without doing anything that was particularly life shortening. Plus, the absence of this type of hardcore wrestling makes this match more meaningful. Orton's run with the Intercontinental belt has made one of WWE's secondary titles seem a lot more important. Observer newsletter on this one, again, also 4.5 stars. Orton, as weird as this sounds, added a toughness to his aura that he needed to be a money player and had easily the match of his career against Mick Foley. While regular uses of match of this type are a negative, because WWE hasn't done this type of match in years, it was very effective. Foley, who said before this match he was expecting this match to be one of his career highlights, lived up to those standards, even though he has not done a single match in more than 4 years. 4.5 stars. So you got 2 4.5s. Tom, what do you have?
I will give this a 7.5.
Okay.
It's solid. You know, I like the players. I like the storyline. There's nothing spectacular. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a Mick Foley hardcore match and they're all kind of the same. I hate saying that. I preferred the Edge match. Maybe it was just the WrestleMania crowd. Look, bonus points for the spot at the end with the spear through the fiery table. So I actually thought the finish this match was a little anticlimactic. So 7.5, solid, but not spectacular. What about you?
I'm going to 7. I think that.
Okay. So you felt the same way I did.
I would say that, yes. Was it a good match and was it a brutal match? Yes. I think that it was actually, I agree with that point actually, that they didn't really do anything that was like, you know, career shortening, which I think is a big deal, especially nowadays, like, you know, in 2021, if you're taking a chair shot to the head, like every single one is, you know, career shortening. Yes. Is getting tacks in your back going to hurt like a bitch? Yes, absolutely. But like, it's not going to, you know, cut years off your life or anything like that, you know, taking. So I think for that reason, like, and again, yeah, there was not a ton of wrestling. And so there was just, I was in a lot of ways, I hate saying it too, like it was a little bit of a spot fest, just the kind of setups and things that were happening, but it doesn't mean it was bad though. There was good setups. It made sense with what was happening. So I enjoyed that piece of it. So you got 7.5 from Tom, 7 from Jeff. Final thoughts?
Solid. Yep. Definitely Orton comes out a bigger star than he went in. It's fun seeing Mick Foley kind of reverse the clock and go back in time and
yep,
put an awesome performance together.
Yeah. Since we just covered it, if you had to tell a fan to watch this match or the Edge Foley match, which hardcore match of those two would you tell them?
The Edge one. I think I prefer Edge over Orton just overall as a performer. I think the fact it was on the WrestleMania stage and then just the killer ending. I'll tell you another thing with the Edge thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, but Edge wore kind of more street clothes, right? He looked like he was there for a fight instead of wearing his like traditional ring gear.
Trunks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I actually thought the another thing is I think like that felt like more of a street fight. Randy coming out, I mean, I know he had a t-shirt on, but wearing like his wrestling tights, I just thought it was stupid. He needed to come out in blue jeans and look like he was in a street fight.
See, and I would actually pick this match, I think, because like the fire spot and stuff like that, from like, you just don't see it and it's a little bit crazier. And so I think it depends on the person too. Like if I was trying to introduce my girlfriend to something and then one, like, here's a hardcore match, this is what I would show her versus that match. But you know, they're both good for different reasons. So, but okay, cool. Send them home happy, of course. And don't forget, of course, 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use that code payoff. We really appreciate our fans kind of supporting us using that and stuff like that. It allows us to keep kind of doing the show. We're not stopping anytime soon, but, you know, appreciate the support and, you know, seeing you guys, men and women kind of ordering that stuff. So we appreciate it. So.
Love it. Yeah, we really do. That's a great way to support the show. Yeah. And all kidding aside, it really is awesome that so many people ordered stuff and continue to. So thank you so much. Obviously, they track that as a sponsor and we really do appreciate it. So they make great stuff. And if it helps you to get the 20% off and order it for yourself or a friend, or it really helps us as well. And we sincerely appreciate it. And more importantly, we sincerely appreciate you listening to The Payoff. So we work hard at this. We do our best to bring you great episodes. We're excited to be closing in on our 100th episode, if you can believe that. And yep. Whether you've been with us since the beginning or brand new to the show, thank you so much. And the best thing you can do to support us is just by telling a friend, letting them know what we're doing, sharing a link with them, and we appreciate all of that. So as always, thank you for joining us in The Payoff, and we'll see you on an all new episode next week of The Payoff.